Bibles to Philippians 4:13. And in your books, you're going to be at lesson 3. We did the introduction a couple weeks ago. Seemed like a long time ago because we did that. Then Brother Neil taught. Then we had anniversary. Is it 22, Jeff?
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. So 22 in your books, and we're at Philippians 4:13, dealing with the power to succeed. Philippians 4:13, that's our memory verse there. Amen. All right. How many have things to do today? All of us have things to do. How many got things to do tomorrow? All of us. Amen. How many got things to do the rest of the week? Amen. The Bible says that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So if you got things to do, God's got power to give. Amen. Who has hard things to do this week? If you're taking care of kids, you got hard things to do this week. Amen. If you've got kids, if you got to go face the boss this week, you've got hard things to do this week. Amen. If you got to sleep this week, that's not hard. Amen. That's easy. It's just finding the time to sleep. Amen. Now, that's hard. Amen. All right, Philippians 4:13. Let's go ahead and say the reference, and then we'll quote the verse and then the reference together. Here we go. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:13. Now, Father, bless in our Sunday school hour as we determine, Lord, what we can do through your word and through your will, Lord. We are so thankful to be able to be here today. Continue to ask for your intercession, Lord, on Brother Scott, that, Lord, you might heal and his life. We thank you so much for loving us. Open our eyes this morning. Reveal to us what you want us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. All right. We started the introduction on this last time. And this lesson is called The Power to Succeed. You've got your overview there, and we read the overview, but draw your attention to the last sentence there in the overview. Let me see, where does it pick up at? It picks up with God gives us the power to do all things, okay? Draw your attention to that, because that's what we talked about last time. Notice it says, God gives us the power to do what? All things, and it is through his strength that we are fully capable of doing what he asks. So I mentioned this. If God has given us the strength or the power or the ability to do all things, are we supposed to do everything? No, we're not supposed to do everything. But we can do, and he does empower us to do what? What he asks us to do. Does God have to empower us to do what he does not ask us to do? Does he have to empower us? No.
He doesn't.
He doesn't. But what he asks you to do, he will give you the strength to do it. And with that said, we begin to quantify or prioritize some things that we do know God wants us to do. By the way, let me give you the first one here. Turn in your Bibles real quick to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. And Charlotte and Sarah, there should be some Bibles in front of you there. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4. And Brother Neil, once you get there, let me know, and I want to have you to read that. Because this is one of the first things that God wants us to do. And by the way, he will give you the power for this. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. Brother Neil, you got that? Amen. That is one of the primary things that God wants you to do is to get saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so the very first thing that God is asking of mankind is to be saved. Amen. And by the way, he asks. He doesn't force. Amen. He does not berate you and beat you up and make you get saved. Amen. Aren't you glad he doesn't make you get saved? Amen. Yeah. Then you'd be a prisoner and not a person of Christ. Amen. Hey. And so praise the Lord for that. So that is the first thing that God wants us to do is be saved. Now, once we're saved, what should we do according to Matthew 6:33? But seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. So once we're saved, we need to seek the kingdom of God. And by the way, is that universal for everybody? Yes.
Yes,
That's universal for everybody. So he wants us to be saved. He wants us to seek him. And then the Bible says this, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. So we need to seek him and love him. That's universal. Everybody has that same priority. Then from that point on, it begins to delineate out and get specific. As a husband, what is my first priority that God will empower me and strengthen me to do? As a husband, love my wife. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for. Then what's the next thing he wants me to do if I'm a wife? What's that? Honor, obey my husband. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. So once I've got saved, once I'm seeking the kingdom of God, and once I'm loving the Lord with all my heart, mind, and soul, my next priority then, if I'm a husband, is to love my wife. My next priority, if I'm a wife, is to submit myself to my husband and obey his authority, his leadership. And then what's the next priority if I'm a child in the house? Children do what? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So now the parents have their responsibility. The child has their responsibility. The children are to be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So if I'm a parent, I may be married but not have children. But if I'm married and I have children, their job is to obey me. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. But my job is to teach them and to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's my job. What does the Bible say? Train up a child in the way that he should what? Go, and when he's old, he will not depart. And so as you look at the responsibilities and the priorities, then it begins to delineate. Will God strengthen us to do this thus far? Yes. Why? That's what he's commanded us to do. He wants us to be saved. He wants us to love him. He wants us to seek him. If I'm a husband, he wants me to love my wife. If I'm a wife, he wants me to submit to my husband. If I'm a child, he wants me to obey. God will give me the strength to do that. If I'm a parent, he's going to give me the ability to train my child in the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I'm a single person and I don't have a spouse yet, guess what? I'm still under my parents' jurisdiction and under my parents' obedience and guidelines. Amen. And so I need to do that as well. Now, once I've got my family relationship out of the way and God's going to empower me to do that, what is the next thing that we talked about was on the priority list that God will strengthen you for? It is the local church.
Yes.
It is the local church. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a man of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that they are approaching. Preacher, why is the church above my job and above some of the other things that are coming next, like the state? Because I will forevermore be a Christian.
Amen.
Amen. And I will forevermore need the local church. And by the way, Christ died for the what?
Church.
The church. He didn't die for the government. He died for the church. Amen. And so after my responsibilities are there, then I've got to be in church. Why? It is in the church that I learned to be a good employer. It is in the church that I learned to be a good citizen. Amen. And so I've got to make sure my priority is first loving God, number one, husbands and wives loving and submitting to each other, children obeying their parents, parents raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The very next thing is I need to be in the church so that I can learn how to be a good citizen and be a good boss and a good employer. Amen. And so the very next thing on my priority list would be then is the church and then the government. We saw that in Romans chapter 13. Why? I'm always going to be under the government. By the way, I may not always have a job.
That's right, Pastor.
But if I'm in the government, I'm always under the laws of the land.
That's right,
Amen. By the way, if I don't have a job, what do I normally want to get from the government? And guess what you need to be? In obedience to the government. If you want government assistance, I need to be obedient to government. Amen. How many of y'all want your Social Security when you get older? That's government. How many of y'all want to make sure you got public libraries? That's the government. How many of y'all want fire protection? That's the government. How many of you want police protection? Or police brutality, I guess it is these days. Amen. Police protection, amen. We all do. You know, we want, how many of y'all want the roads fixed? We all want the roads fixed. We want the potholes fixed, amen. We want the cops out there to get the radar on the bad guys and give them a ticket, unless it's us. Then we don't want the ticket, amen. All of that is government, and all of that takes money and cooperation. So when you look at the priority list, then, after church, then, as a priority, and God's going to give me the strength to operate in my local church, then the government comes next because I'll always be in the government. And then my job actually comes last because it's going to come and go. By the way, you're going to get to a point where you won't even have a job once you get up to be, you know, 70, 80, 90, 100 years old. You won't have a job back then. You say, why not? Oh, nobody's going to hire you, number one, and you're supposed to be retired and relaxing by that time. Amen. Not working. Now, if you want to keep working past that, praise God. Walmart will hire you. You can be a greeter. Amen. But that is the priority. Now, with those priorities, will Christ give me all the strength to do those things? Yes. Why? Because every last one of those is commanded in the Bible. So I can do all those things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The key is this. I've got to make sure that my priorities are lining up with God. The minute I get my priorities out of whack, what's going to happen? Something's not going to be getting done, and I won't have the strength that I need to do it. Why? It's being zapped someplace else, doing something else that I ought to do. But within the confines of these priorities that we listed, Christ will give us the strength that we need. Amen. That being said, we need to go into our outline here. Now, by the way, you've got listed there Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. And it's talking about a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. What kind of qualities would you want in a friend? Anybody, what kind of qualities would you want in a friend? Ms. Hall? Loyal. Amen. What other qualities would you want in a friend? Dependable. What else? Honesty. That's a good one. What else? Understanding. That's a great one. By the way, will a friend always understand what you're going through? No. But they still should provide a listening what? And it's good to say, you know, I really don't understand what you're going through, but I'm here for you. I'm here for you. Because they may not understand it. There have been a lot of situations that happen to people that I know, and I don't know what to say. I say, you know, I don't understand why that happened. I don't really understand that, but I'm here for you, and I'll pray for you. What other quality do we need in a friend? Being real. Amen. Being real. You know, you want your friend to tell you the truth. You don't want them to lie to you. If your breath stinks, they need to tell you, you know.
Yes.
Now, diplomatically, of course. You know, you don't say, man, your breath stinks. No, you don't say nothing like that. Well, you want to be diplomatic and say, hey, you know, this is what's going on. And being real. What else? Characteristics of a friend. What do we want them to be to us or for us? Stick up for you. Amen. By the way, your friends should always have your back. They should always have your back. They should be there through thick and thin. By the way, even if you're wrong, hey, you were wrong, but I got your back. Even when you're wrong, hey, you were wrong about that, but I got your back. But, you know, you shouldn't do that. They should be real with you, but never betray you. Well, you did that, so I'm over here on this side. I'm not your friend anymore. No, be real. But say, hey, look, you know, that's not right. And a friend should be able to tell you that's not right without you getting offended. You hurt my feelings. You're not my friend anymore. Dude. Oh, now, who does that normally? Children.
Children.
You're not my friend anymore. I'm not going to play with you anymore. Next hour, they're playing again. You know? And we should never do that. What other qualities do we want in a friend? Godly. If they're going to help me as a Christian, they've got to be godly, or otherwise, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man is sharpened counters with a friend, they're going to turn me ungodly as sooner or later. Amen. They're going to dullen my sharpness. Amen. They're going to make me less bright in my shine for Christ. Amen. What else? Qualities in a friend. Because it said down there, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Anything else that we want in a friend? Amen. Was that? Amen. Someone you can have a good time with. Share interest. I mean, I love to bowl. Now, if my friend likes to, you know, do something that I don't like to do, like go to the opera or something like that, you know, he's still my friend, but I can't go with you to the opera. I'll go to sleep on you. You know, I can go sleep at home. Amen. My wife, bless her heart, she went down to U of A and she had classes back in the day. And she says, I got to go to this, what was it, a symphony orchestra or something like that. Man, you talk about something that can put you to sleep. Man, I sat in there, and I was gone. It was soothing music, and I just said, wow. I was asleep. Wake me up when it's over. Amen. And so interest really does matter. Now, I love opera. I love the symphony now, but back then I wasn't saved. I had no use for it if it wasn't the type of music that I liked. Amen. All right, so says a man that has friends must show himself friendly. There is a friend that stick closer than a brother. By the way, all the qualities that we just met that mentioned, Jesus meets those qualities. Amen. Jesus, and the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, if Christ is trustworthy, dependable, faithful, and true, like we mentioned, and he's there to help, a true friend will help with those things, not expecting anything in return. Amen. And he won't get upset. I like what they say in the book here. A true friend helps without expecting anything in return and doesn't get upset when you're in need of assistance. What is that? Doesn't get upset when you're in need of assistance. In addition to this, great friends simply keep their promises and you can rely on them to do what they said they would do. Now, the Bible says I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Is that a promise? Yes, it is.
Yes.
And so Jesus, as our very best friend, wants us to rely upon him to do all things, to do the priorities that we have, to make sure that we're saved, to make sure if I'm a Christian, I'm in a relationship with him and I'm loving him and I'm putting him first, and I'm seeking him first. If I've got a spouse, I'm loving my spouse. I'm submitting to my spouse. If I've got children, I'm raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. My children are being obedient to me. Those are all things that Christ will give us strength to do. And so as we go down here, a friend is what Jesus is. And so let's get to this first blank here, the first blank here. And by the way, a friend is someone that will stick by you when the times get tough. And that's what Jesus will do. Roman numeral 1 is going to be the purpose, the purpose. And we're going to take this bit by bit here, the purpose. The purpose of this verse is found in the very first word, which is I. One of the things that you and I need to do is make this verse personal. I. How many of y'all get junk mail? When you get junk mail, what do you do with it? Get in there, you're like, oh, junk mail. Oh, they were thinking about me in this mass production. Oh, I'm one of a million people. They said, hello, you're my friend too. Do you do that? No, you don't. But if grandma writes you a letter, or if your husband writes you a letter, or a friend writes you a letter, what do you do with that letter? You're like, whoa, this is going to be good. They wrote me a letter. They actually took time to put pen and ink down. They didn't type it on a text to me. Amen. When someone actually takes some time, you think, wow. And what if you're going to respond back? You write that letter out, and you put it in an envelope, and you take it down to the mailbox. What do you put on that? A stamp? Well, beside the stamp, amen. You address it to who? The person, personally. Now, would you put your letter in an envelope and just take it down to the mail and just throw it in there, addressed to nobody? Or just address it to whoever opens it? If you wanted to go to somebody specific? Okay, to whoever is concerned. And you take it down there. Can you deliver this to me? They said, where do you want to go? Oh, it doesn't matter, to whoever. That does matter. When you're looking at this verse, I matters. This is a very personal promise verse for you specifically. It's addressed to us personally. I can do all things. And God wants you and I to know that we can do the things that he asks us to do. They're not out of reach. They're not way over there to someone else. It's you and I. So he says, I, the purpose is I. And the purpose of the verse is found in the very first word, I. He wants you and I to know personally that we can do it. And he wants us to know that we can do all things through him. And the promise is meant for you and I personally. And the purpose is he wants you and I to see that he gives us the strength to do whatever it is. You've got children to deal with. Guess what? He's got strength for you. You've got a boss to deal with. He's got strength for you. You've got a wife to love. He's got strength for you. You've got a husband to submit to. You definitely need strength from him. Amen. Whatever it is, children to obey their parents, they need strength from him. If we're going to obey our bosses, we need strength from him. If we're going to be in charge, we need strength from him. Whatever it is that we're going to do, we need that strength from him. Hey, if you're going to obey the government, you definitely need strength. Amen. Because when I see the taxes that I got to pay, I'm thinking, what? I'm paying for a library that's like 40 miles away from me. Are you kidding me? But guess what? I have to obey. And so you need the strength. And so when you look at this, it is personally to us. Let me read something here. It says, when we fail to experience victory in our spiritual battles, it is often because we're not making the promises of God personal to us. Think about it. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Who will that verse save? It is a whosoever, but who will that verse save? Anyone that practices it and makes it personal. Does it say whosoever even right now in the Bible? Well, why isn't everybody saved then? Because there are those that made it personal and those that haven't made it personal. Does John 3:16 say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him? Then why isn't the whole world saved then? Because not everybody is making it personal. When you make it personal, you say, hey, I need to be saved. Hey, I am in the world. Hey, I'm a whosoever, and I want to be saved. So when you look at this purpose here of this verse here, it really means us. He says, when we fail to experience victory in our spiritual battles, it's often because we're not making the promises of God personal to us. Too often, he goes on to say, we read the Bible, but we don't claim the promises as our own. Wow. How many of y'all read John 3:16 before you got saved? Many of us probably read it. How many of you heard it? Many of you probably, but guess what? You didn't make it personal until you got saved. When you got saved is when you said, hey, look, I need to be saved. So the first letter in here is I. And do this here. Put your name in there where it says I. So Ken. Yeah. Ken Duffy can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth him. Or he can say, Ken can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Right. Derek can put his name in there. Derek can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Ms. Hall. Tamara can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now what am I doing? I'm making it personal. I'm putting my name in there and saying, now, Lord, whatever you're asking me to do, I can do it. I've got to make it personal, because if you just say, well, I can do all things through Christ, but if you say it nonchalantly, guess what? There's no power. You've got to grab it, you've got to claim it, and you've got to believe it. As they say, claim it and name it, amen? But I'm talking about for real, not the easy believism, amen? The second thing is going to be Roman numeral 2, the possibility, can, the possibility. So number one, the purpose is I've got to make this personal in my life. But then the possibility is verses found in a single word, can. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I've got to make sure that I know this can be done through Christ's power. I can raise my children. I can love my husband. I can love my wife. I can submit to him. I can obey my parents and the Lord, for this is right. I can submit myself to the authorities of government. I can submit myself to the pastor's authority. I can. This is something that I can. There's a possibility along with the purpose there. And by the way, when it comes down to here, it says this, how often in our Christian lives we find ourselves not doing the things for God that we know we should. How often do we fail to follow through on decisions we make? From this verse, we see all the potential that we need to do all things through Christ. The reason we don't do what we should is not because we can't, is because we, shame on us, we won't. I won't love my husband. I won't submit to my wife. I won't love my wife. I won't do these things. I won't obey my parents because I have the strength to do it. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
So it's not the fact that I can't obey him. It's not the fact that I can't submit to him. It's not the fact that I can't love him or submit to her or love her. I can't obey my parents. I can't obey my boss or do these things. It's the fact that I won't because I've got the strength to do it. By the way, it says this. We may feel like we can't have victory over our particular struggles, whether it's our thought life, our jealousy, our bitterness, our discontentment, our pride. We may feel like it has such a stronghold on us that we can't have victory. Yet, according to this verse, guess what? We can.
Yes, sir,
we can. Hey, if you've got bitterness, guess what? You can get the victory over bitterness.
Yes,
if you've got an unforgiving spirit, you can get the victory over that. If you hold grudges, you can get the victory over that if you want to. If you want to love your wife, you can have the victory over that. If you want to submit to your husband, you can have the victory. If a child wants to obey their parents, guess what? They can have the victory. The one thing about this verse, Paul is letting us know, I can do all things that God asks me to do. And so the possibility is can. The possibility in this verse is found in the word can. I can do all things. Amen. By the way, goes on to say this. When we don't see spiritual victories, it's not because we can't, it's because we won't. We won't allow the Lord to rule over us and govern our decisions. We won't allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and empty us of all pride. We won't give our bitterness and pain over to the Lord, allowing him to make us better. It's not that we can't, it's that we won't. Amen. Now that's sobering right there. Because the Bible gives us a strong promise. I can do all things that God would ask me to do. Amen. Let's go to number three. The practice. Dude, this is a long outline, so I'm trying to really move through this one very, very quickly. The practice, do. So we've got three words so far. I can do. I can do. How many of y'all ever heard no can do? How many have ever said that before? No can do. Somebody asks you something, you say no can do.
Yeah.
You know what you're saying? Ain't gonna happen. Not, it ain't going to happen. I'm not doing that. No can do. These three words said I can do.
Yeah.
The total opposite of no can do. I can do. Amen. The practice of this verse is found in the word do. It's not enough to know the truth. You have to do your part by following the truth. Let me give you several biblical people here, and I'm going to ask you a question about them. Because A is Bible, biblical practice. Biblical practice, the practice, do I can do. I'm going to read these men to you, and you tell me which one of these men had the hardest command to obey. Had the hardest command to obey. Number one is Noah. He was commanded to build an ark. Number two, Joshua. He was commanded to conquer Canaan. Number three, Solomon. He was commanded to build a temple. Number four, Hosea. He had to marry Gomer. Everybody know who Gomer is? She was a whore, prostitute.
Yeah.
And he was commanded to marry her. Now, out of these four men, which one had the hardest command to obey and why? Noah building the ark, Joshua conquering Canaan land, Solomon building the temple, Hosea marrying Gomer. Which one of these men had the hardest command to obey and why? Brother Long? Hosea? Why would you say Hosea? You got to love her? Amen? Amen? She's a whore and a prostitute. You got to love her. Now you got to love her. You got to marry her. Amen? Ms. Dawson? Conquering Canaan land, why? War, death, killing. Amen. And you were also in charge of leading the whole nation to do it, an army. Amen. So there's responsibility there. There's a stigma with that one. Anybody else? Which one of these commands is the hardest to obey? Noah building the ark, Solomon building a temple. Noah had to stand alone. And that is a long time. That is a long time. Amen. Tasha, you going to say the same thing? Noah? Amen. Anybody else? Which one of these is the hardest to obey? Now put yourself in each one of these people's shoes. Which one of these would be hardest for you? Noah building the ark, 120 years, being scoffed at and mocked at. Solomon building the temple, having to fill David's shoes and building this great temple for God. Or Homer. Hosea marrying Gomer. And these H's and these G's, amen. Or Joshua, Kyrie, which one of these would you most say, no, I don't want that one. I think I'll take that one. Which one would be the toughest? Anybody else? Which one of these would you think would be the most difficult to obey? And by the way, let me throw this in there. Which command was the toughest in the eyes of God? Ms. Dawson? Amen. Mrs. Dawson says she don't think in God's eyes any of them are as tough because God's going to give them what they need to obey it. By the way, to piggyback on that, would God ever give you a command that you cannot obey? No. Would he ever give you a task that you cannot accomplish? No. God is not a God of failure, and he doesn't want to set you up for failure. God will always give you that which you can do through his strength. So could Noah build the ark with God's strength? Yes, he could.
Yes, he could.
Yes, he could. Could Solomon build the temple with God's strength?
Yes.
Yes, he could. Could Joshua conquer Canaan land with his strength? Yes, he could.
Yes, he
could Gomer, let me get it right, Hosea marry Gomer? Yes, he could.
Yes,
yes he could.
Yes, yes.
So when you look at these now, I'm with Brother Hall. Of all of those, you know, you can give me the ark and give me 120 years. You can give me Canaan land. Let me work on that for a while. You can give me the temple. Let me work on that for a while. But give me the task of marrying Gomer. That's when I'd be like, Lord, can you find somebody else? Maybe there's a Bob here in the congregation somewhere. Maybe there's a Steve in the congregation, or maybe there's someone else to do that one. But give me the other three, and I can handle those. But according to what God says, I can do that. I can marry Gomer. Now, would I go kicking and screaming? Yeah, I would. Why was that such a bad thing? Because it was picturing Israel and how unfaithful Israel was going to be to God and how unfaithful Israel was to God. And so he said, you go marry this woman named Gomer who's going to be unfaithful to you. I'm telling you up front, she's going to cheat on you and you're going to have to buy her back off of the slave market of sin. And he had to do that and had children by her too. Lord, don't give me that. But according to God, each one of these men had an equal opportunity task because they had God's strength. And so God could do through them what he wanted to do. So Noah could build the ark and God was going to give him strength for the 120 years. That was going to save himself and his family and the animals. He was going to do it for 120 years, even though the crowds mocked him, even though he had never seen rain, didn't know what a flood was. God was going to give him the strength to do it. When it came down to Joshua, God was going to give Joshua what he needed to conquer Canaan land, Jericho, handle the complaints of the Israelites. By the way, when you think of the complaints of the Israelites, think of parenthood. Because you have the complaints of your little Israelites, amen, that run around your house, amen. And if Joshua had strength to handle the complaints of the Israelites, God's going to give you the strength to handle the complaints of your little Israelites that you have, amen. Because I tell you what, they will not stop. Complaints will be there. They really will, amen, until you get them out of the house and get them on their own, and then they probably will still have some. But Joshua had what he needed. Solomon had exactly what he needed to build this temple during one of the hardest projects that was going to happen in their history. And then Hosea would have to go and love this girl unconditionally. And then after she went out there and was unfaithful, he had to go out there and get her and buy her back and bring her back home after she left and ran out on him. God was going to give him the strength to do that. Now, Lord, don't give me that task. But guess what the Bible says? I can do what? All things. And what are these all things? All things that he has. God didn't ask anybody else to build an ark but Noah. He asked Solomon to build the temple. He asked Joshua to take him into Canaan land. And he asked Hosea to marry Gomer. God is going to give you what you need to get the job done. The key is this. I've got to recognize my priorities. My priority to Almighty God first. My priority to my spouse if I've got one. My priority to my children if I have them. My priority to my parents. And then my priority to everyone else underneath that when it comes to my church and when it comes to my government. Then when it comes to my my job, I've got to make sure that my priorities now are intact. And then God will give me the strength that I need to do these hard tasks when they come up. By the way, all of these men were living for God before they got the call to do the hard things. What am I saying? They were obeying the priority structure first and foremost, so there was not a dilemma, and they could hear God's voice. And then God was instructing them. Oftentimes, we're not obeying the priorities set before us. It's going to be easy for us to get out of whack and easy for us to get off track. Amen. We're going to go into this, the next one here. I'll give you that one as well. B is modern practice. Biblical practice, we see the characters that are there, Joshua, Solomon, Hosea, and Noah. Within modern practice, basically, if God called you to accomplish something for him, you can do it. The key is making sure he called you to do it. That's the key. Making sure God called you to do it. I have no doubt in my mind that God called me to preach. I have no doubt at all. Now, with that, the question then comes, now where does he want me to preach? Now, what if he called me back to Joliet, Illinois? That's like Hosea and Gomer. Lord, don't say it ain't so. Say it ain't so. But guess what? If he calls me back to Joliet, guess what? He's going to give me the strength to do it. And he won't give me the strength to fight against it. Might not like it, amen. Amen. God, if he's called you to accomplish something, you can do it through his strength, whether it's being a boss in a major company, ministering to a hurt a family, raising a family, allowing you to be hurt or mistreated and then bouncing back from it. God, whatever he allows you to go through, God's going to give you the strength to overcome it and have the victory. Wow, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You can forgive that person through his strength, whatever situation that God asks of you or puts you in. You can claim this verse and depend on his strength if you're making sure your priorities are lined up. If your priorities aren't lined up, you're going to run into some difficulties and some problems with that. Amen. I'll share a little bit about starting this church next time we meet up. Amen. But our memory verse for today is going to be Joshua 1:9, Joshua 1:9. It's going to be our memory verse. We'll pin that one down. Joshua 1:9 starts out, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage." So Joshua 1:9 is going to be our memory verse for next week. And we'll pick up with this, amen. Dealing with I can do all things. So we're talking about Roman number one. The purpose of the verse is found in the word I, the possibility, can, and three, the practice, do. We can do it. And then the biblical perspective is A, and the modern practice is B. We can do it. Memory verse is Joshua 1:9. Amen. Let's be dismissed, and we're going to trust the Lord to work in our midst today. Father, we thank you for, Lord, just giving us the confidence, giving us the assurance, giving us the promise that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Lord, help us to remember the priorities. But then, Lord, help us to recognize that we've got to make it personal. It's about you giving me the strength. Help us to know, Lord, the possibility is we can do whatever it is. And then the practice, Lord, help us to just do it. No matter how hard it is, Noah, Joshua, Solomon, Hosea all had difficult tasks, and they were equally met with the strength and the power of Almighty God. With the task that we have before us, Lord, we have the power of Almighty God before us to accomplish those tasks. So help us to do what is before us today, that you may get all praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Bless the refreshments across the way as well. Amen and amen.